Earlier this summer, the news reported about a woman who was living in Mississauga who happened to visit a walk-in doctor's clinic. In video that was captured of the incident, the woman can be heard requesting a doctor who speaks English. One of the terrible aspects of that incident is that most likely, I mean, I don't know this, but most likely, most of the doctors present that day probably spoke better English than she did. They just had an accent that was foreign. The woman's implied comment isn't that she didn't want a doctor who spoke English. She wanted a doctor who looked like her. Whether we are comfortable with it or not, we need to recognize that her comment, her request for a doctor who spoke English, was a comment that reeked of racist overtones. And as we are all painfully aware, the ugly beast which is racism seems to be rearing its ugly head. And we are fools to think that the events in the United States these past week don't affect us here or that they don't occur in Canada, because if you're following the news in any way, you know that rallies by white supremacists or the alt-right or however they wish to identify themselves are trying to happen in Canada. Racism exists, and along with it comes a host of other problematic issues, such as segregation and discrimination. Now, issues of segregation and discrimination, they are not unique to race. They occur on religious grounds as well. I can recall my grandfather telling stories about his time growing up in Glasgow. He would be walking down the street, minding his own business, and a group of thugs would come up to him, and they'd point at him, and they'd say, "Are you a P or a C? Protestant or Catholic?" And the problem was, you didn't know what they were. And so religious discrimination was used to enforce and inflict violence indiscriminately. Who is in? Who is out? A question that divides us along religious, ethnic, and national lines. And regrettably, it has been historically the church which has made this distinction, much to our shame. The Catholic versus the Protestants in Northern Ireland, Muslims versus Christians in the Crusades, Muslims versus Christians today in some senses. White European settlers versus the indigenous peoples of North America. I could go on, but I think you get the point I'm trying to make. We draw lines in the sand, and then we build walls up. And in doing so, we forget that the primary thing that Jesus came to do and to teach us about God and ourselves, Jesus came to teach us that that is all rooted in love. And love doesn't have space for lines or walls. The issue of who is in and who is out, of lines, of walls, and the inclusive message of love, which Jesus brings, present us with a problem, a big problem, when we look at today's passage from Matthew. Because in our passage from Matthew, we find Jesus doing the very opposite of being inclusive and welcoming. Indeed, Jesus is downright rude to the Canaanite woman. Now, perhaps we could just excuse this behavior based on racial tensions, but we're having that dialogue in today's world And you can't excuse that kind of behavior away. So how do we deal with the story of Jesus and this Canaanite woman? Why is he so rude to her? Is it racial tensions? Well, that doesn't hold up because Jesus also meets another foreign woman at the well when he meets the Samaritan woman. But it's clearly a problem. Something's going on here. Jesus calls this woman a dog. Clearly a derogatory term. It's meant as an insult. And yet the Canaanite woman persisted. She wanted healing for her daughter, and she has been following Jesus and the disciples around. And for their part, the disciples were done with her. Get rid of her, they said. And yet she hounded after Jesus. And then Jesus says a curious thing. I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. And in this line, Jesus states his mission statement, the reason why he came. I mean, remember, the Israelites were God's chosen people. Through them, God's character would be shown to the world. Except that they kept screwing up. When we read the prophets, we find example after example of the Israelites just making a mess of things. Go back further to the time of Solomon and David. And well, those two weren't really that much better. Go back even further to the time of Judges, and similarly, it's a disaster. Everyone thinks Samson is great, but that guy was a mess. Sleeping with prostitutes and ignoring all of the purity laws he was supposed to follow. So God does something new in the person of Jesus Christ. God sends his own son who will come and teach and heal. And we see over and over again in the Gospels how Jesus corrects the law and provides proper understanding of what it means to love one another. This is the mission that Jesus is on, to bring the lost sheep of Israel back in line, back to the pasture, if you will, so that the rest of the world will see them and will understand God's character through them. And of course, that mission by its very nature cannot just include the Israelites, because they're to show God's character to the rest of the world. And by doing so, God expresses his interest in all of creation. The mission to the Gentiles was always coming. It's as if in this encounter, the Canaanite woman breaks through from the future to influence the present. She knows who Jesus is. She calls him by name, Son of David. She understands his mission, but she believes it extends to all creation. And so she asks for help. And Jesus responds to her rudely. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And the woman's response demonstrates the depth of her faith and her understanding of what she believed Jesus' mission to be. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table. Some commentators believe that Jesus learned something new that day. Others believe it is a rhetorical device employed by Matthew to tell the story of how wide and inclusive God's love is. As I read the story, I ask myself, what is the legacy of the Canaanite woman? Preaching truth, grasping the crumbs, and turning bare morsels into full meals. Too often, we cannot or we refuse to empathize with people whose experience is different from our own. If the oppression, injustice, or pain is not happening in our house or in our neighborhood or does not impact our race, gender, class, or sexuality, then we dismiss it as unwelcome and unjustified noise. And Jesus' response to the apostles urging to send the Canaanite woman away seems to affirm their desire to dismiss her. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But her persistence is a reminder of how deep, wide, and far the love of God truly extends. A reminder that no one is excluded, that there is a place for everyone at the table. What the Canaanite woman does is remind us that proclamation can come from many places. That there are displaced and disaffected voices which are preaching truth. However, we don't hear those voices because they're not like us. They are the proverbial other. And so long as our comfortable existence stays comfortable, we're unlikely to do anything of substance about it. But friends, that isn't answering the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel, following in the way of Jesus Christ, isn't about sitting complacently giving thanks to God for your comfortable life. The call of the gospel places demands on us, and as predominantly white Christians, we've been sitting comfortable for far too long. We've given thanks for our health and our wealth, and we've helped out where we can. We've done our part. We support important ministries. But for the most part, none of what we have done has made us uncomfortable or impacted our way of life in a substantial way. Following Jesus should be hard. It should make you squirm. It should make you uncomfortable. Yes, it comes with an amazing promise of life in the new creation. But the obligation of a disciple of Christ is to go out into the world and work. We are called to love the meek, feed the hungry, and clothe the naked. And that's a bare minimum. We are called to see past issues of race and ethnicity, of gender and sexuality. The Canaanite woman made Jesus and the disciples uncomfortable because she preached an important truth to them. She reached through to the heart of the issue and proclaimed that God's love was for everyone. And if the only thing she could get was the scraps, then so be it. Scraps are what she would take. She deserves so much more than scraps. And this is evidenced in the healing her daughter receives. A reminder that God's love is for all people. So get uncomfortable. Get used to being uncomfortable. Because people who preach hate think it's acceptable to do so. And whether you like it or not, whether you are comfortable with it or not, your job as a Christian is to demonstrate another path, another way. A way of love, following in the way of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.